Have you ever witnessed an event that literally disturbed your beliefs? Maybe it challenged your thought challenged what you thought you knew about the world. Or maybe you were not present, but just hearing or reading about something caused you to rethink what you believed. It might have been one of those days, that Sabbath in Capernaum. After Jesus walked away from a lynch mob in Nazareth, he went to Capernaum on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And this is the story from God's Word, as is recorded in Luke chapter 4. Then Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and he taught the people on the Sabbath. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked the spirit, "Be quiet. Come out of him." The demon threw the man down in front of everyone and left him, but did him no harm. All the people were amazed. They said, What words these are? With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out. And news about Jesus spread throughout the region. It says Jesus went down to Capernaum. If you look at a map, the way we look at maps, you have to go up from Nazareth to Capernaum. That always throws me. But it was a lower elevation. Capernaum was a lower elevation. Just their wording. It says he went down to Capernaum. Nazareth was in the southern or central part of the region of Galilee, and Capernaum was up at the north end of the lake or the Sea of Galilee. I don't guess it matters whether you're going up or down. He went to Capernaum. And by the way, that became central to his ministry in Galilee. It was sort of his Galilee headquarters. Look at what he did there. Again, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath and he taught there. Like we read last week, it was Jesus' normal behavior to be in the synagogue on the Sabbath. It's what he did. And if you were in Galilee and you wanted to be around people on the Sabbath, you would go to the synagogue. It was the center of community. They were good, faithful Jewish people, mostly in Galilee. It says the people were amazed at his teaching. And we find that phrase throughout the Gospels, throughout the stories about Jesus. His words had authority. Now, a synagogue was primarily a place for teaching. And yet there was something unique about Jesus' teaching. On days other than the Sabbath, you would find people teaching in the synagogue. That's where Jewish boys and young men went to learn. Their education was wrapped up in their religious upbringing. And there they would learn life lessons and ethics from the rabbis and teachers of the law. What made Jesus' teaching so different? Typically, Jewish teachers would cite their sources, as most academians do today, right? We get credibility for what our information gains credibility if we can cite good sources, and that's the way they typically taught. When I was in seminary, one of the professors said, "I really don't know what you care. Excuse me, I really don't care what you think until you tell me what you found in the scholarly resources. In other words, go do your homework. I don't really care what you think. I want to know what you find out from the real scholars, I think was what he was saying. The source gives authority to our knowledge. And that's not wrong, but it is academic. And Jesus didn't teach that way. Jesus taught by his own authority. The words were his. He is the truth. He needed no other source. Even when he taught from the law and the prophets, he spoke with the authority of the author because he is. He did not need to borrow authority from any other man. And the people could see and hear that his teaching was inspired. Now, on this particular day, in this synagogue in Capernaum, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. And Luke does not tell us how or why this guy was in the synagogue. I found myself wondering, was he a regular there? Did everybody say, oh, that's old, what, you know, you just, that's just him. He's kind of off sometimes. I don't know. Luke doesn't give us a lot of information. It seems like they must have known something was wrong with the man or the story would have gone differently, I think. And speaking from sources, in their time frame in the Middle East, most people were convinced that evil spirits were responsible for all kinds of bad things. It was assumed that illness was the result of unclean spirits, or maybe it was punishment from a god, small g. Blindness, lameness, mental problems especially, were blamed on some sort of spiritual affliction. Weird antisocial behavior would have most likely been attributed to a demonic presence. And exorcisms were not uncommon among the Jews and any other group of people in their day and time. The exorcists would usually have some potion or spell or some flamboyant ceremony to cast out spirits or to pretend to. And so, like the rabbi, I have a source. And this is not one of the most scholarly, but an influential one, William Barclay. This is what he said about that time frame and this topic. The people were astonished at Jesus' power, and no wonder. The Middle East was full of people who could exorcise demons, but their methods were weird and wonderful. An exorcist would put a ring under the afflicted person's nose. He would recite a long spell. And then all of a sudden, there would be a splash in a basin of water, which he had put near to his hand, and the demon was out. Or a magical root called Ba'aras was especially effective. When anyone approached it, it shrank into the ground unless gripped. And to grip it was certain death. So the ground round it was dug away. A dog was tied to the root. The struggles of the dog tore up the root, and when the root was torn up, the dog died as a substitute for the one who was possessed. He says, what a difference between all this hysteric paraphernalia and the calm single word of command of Jesus. It was his sheer authority which staggered them. And before Jesus even addressed the Spirit yelled at Jesus, trying to tell Jesus what to do, trying to give Jesus commands. Go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The demon recognized Jesus. He knew exactly who Jesus was. And the demon also expected conflict with Jesus. This demon was more aware of this real spiritual conflict than any of the people there except Jesus. Did you come to destroy us? The demon knew that Jesus had the power to destroy him. And I don't think, or at least when I read this, I'm wondering, why does he use a plural pronoun? Does anybody else have those kind of questions? He says, "Why did you come to destroy us?" Well, we only hear about one demon. So one explanation is he's talking about the demon and the man. That's two, so that would be us. Another explanation would be possible that the demon knew, if you can destroy me, you can destroy all the demons. Have you come to destroy us? I don't know which it is. The demon himself, likely with the man's voice, declared that Jesus is the Holy One of God. Jesus is Messiah. Even the devil and the demons know that Jesus is Messiah, but people seem to have a hard time recognizing him or do not want to admit who he is. Even the people present in that day in the synagogue who witnessed this were questioning, who is this? What are these words? And I think it's interesting that Jesus allowed the declaration of the demon in the first place, but he shut him down quickly. Jesus rebuked the impure spirit. Be quiet. Come out of the man. You see, Jesus would not allow the demon to have any more influence over the man or over the people present. Leave. And the demon did. The impure spirit obeyed the Son of God. He submitted to the authority of Jesus. And in leaving, he made a bit of a show. He threw the man down. The book of Mark says the man convulsed, but he did not harm him. The man was left unharmed. I think the demon knew better than to challenge Jesus any further. I think he knew, I better not hurt this fellow or it might come back on me. I don't know. Again, that's my imagination. All of the people in the synagogue saw this spiritual conflict take place. Remember that exorcisms were known to happen, but this was different. The people were amazed. They asked each other, What kind of words are these? This Jesus has power and authority to command impure spirits, and they obey. Do any of you, when you read a story like this, want to say, of course they obey. He's the Son of God. Don't you see it? It's God in your presence. Demons have to obey. Well, the people were just not sure what to do with Jesus, but they did talk about it. News about Jesus spread throughout the region. And I found myself wondering, well, how long would it take for the news to go around the region with no phones and radios and televisions or computers or even motor transport? How long would it take for these stories to go from town to town? And I suppose about as fast as a person could walk to the next town is about how long it took. And the towns were not typically very far apart. I want you to notice, as we've been going through chapter 4 here, what Luke is doing. First we had the tempting and testing of Jesus. And then we had his announcement and his rejection at Nazareth. And today we come to Capernaum with this story about the demon. And next week we'll finish up chapter 4 with a healing in Simon's house, the disease obeyed Jesus. We'll talk about it more next week. But we have these two synagogue appearances in which one he was rejected and the other people are amazed, but they're not sure who he is or what to do with him. I want you to see, as we're going through Luke, how he lays out the evidence that Jesus is Messiah. If you do not yet trust Jesus as your Savior, please read the evidence. Look at the signs. Look at the trail of evidence. If you already believe, or you say you do, I would ask you to take inventory of your belief and your trust. I would say this, God's word is true regardless of who believes or who does not. But I want you to pay attention as Luke lays this out here, or the other gospels as well. And let me ask you this, if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, are you being changed by his teaching? And I would submit that if you are not being changed by his teaching, you're not paying attention. I don't know any serious students of the Bible who are not constantly challenged by it. I've even been listening to some folks online who say they're not followers of Jesus, but they've been looking and studying his word. One name you'll know, Dennis Prager, a Jewish man who does a lot of online teaching and speaking around about various topics. And one of the lecture or group discussions, he said, "I'm not a follower of Jesus. I'm not Christian, but I'm deeply afraid of a post-Christian world." I think he was admitting the teaching of Jesus is important to us. And there were others in the discussion that very intellectual, very smart people, and some of them knew the word well, but they wouldn't call themselves believers. And I wondered, are they just too intellectual to admit that they were once wrong? I don't know. But I think God's calling them as he calls us, through his word and through his spirit. Here's what to do with God's word. Read it. Ask God to show you himself in his word. Ask God to reveal himself in his word. He will. He will always answer that prayer prayed earnestly. Now this morning, we're going to observe communion together to reflect on who Jesus is and what he has done for us. I'd like for the music team to come. And in 1 Corinthians, we're told to take stock before we come to the communion table, before we take this together, to see if we're right with God. So I just want to encourage you now to pray, to allow the Lord to lead you. And if there's something you need to get right with the Lord, then do that right now. And then we'll have the deacons and probably some other volunteers distribute the elements, and we'll take that together.